Can anyone guess what I'm going to talk about for the services? No, I'm not going to talk about Genesis today. No. Even though that's been a consistent theme, I've been talking about Genesis each time I've been asked to speak. But this
is a lot.
Can you hear me? Okay. Sorry, I'm doing it. Just give me a second. Can you hear me okay now? Is that better? Is that better? Higher? Can you hear me now? That's better? So, as I was preparing for today's sermon, these words came up to me, and I'll just say them here. So, it's Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he only says this twice in the Gospels. He says to his disciples to take up your cross and follow me, to follow Jesus. And in the other place, he says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. So the two passages that I'd like to highlight today are Matthew 10, verse 38, and Matthew 16, verse 24. So I'll read that verse again. The title of the sermon is Deny Himself and Take Up His Cross and Follow Me, Follow Jesus. So the word deny, if you look that up, is a New Testament text written in Greek. The word deny is aparte omi, ahi. And it's an action, it's a verb. It's to deny utterly, to disown, to affirm that one has no acquaintance or connection with someone, to forget oneself, and to lose sight of oneself and one's own interests. What does it mean to take up your cross? So the word take is lambano. It's a verb, it's an action. So it means to get a hold of, to select, to claim, to receive, or to choose. Up is also a verb, it's a hero. The verb is to bear, to lift, to raise up, to elevate, take up, or away. And the word cross is a noun, it's a thing. The Greek word is stos, and it means stake, post, pole, capital punishment, self-denial, exposure to death, atonement of Christ. And if you dig deeper on the word cross, it comes from a base word called histemi. It's an action, which means to stand, to abide, appoint, bring, continue, covenant, establish, hold up, make firm, immovable, stand firm, steadfast mind. So looking at those words, the words that stood out to me was to stand firm. Stand firm. So I'll read the passage in Matthew 10, which gives context to that take up your cross. So Matthew 10, it's verses 35 to 39. Feel free to follow along if you like. So Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, "For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." What is Jesus talking about here? The context here is that in Matthew 10, Jesus is giving many instructions to the 12 disciples, sending them to the lost sheep of Israel. He describes what they should do to each town, and what they should carry, and how they should interact with the towns that they come across, the ones that accept them and the ones that don't. But in this passage, he describes what he has come to do. It's a seemingly strange thing to cause division between people in a household. Division between parents and children. Division in the household. Jesus describes very clear boundaries defining what our first love should be, our top priority. And remember, who causes this division? It's Jesus Christ. We have to lose our lives for Jesus. I want to focus in on Matthew 10, verse 38. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Taking up the cross, what is he talking about? Well, I believe reading the text and reading the verses just before that, it is our obedience to Jesus. Remember a question from a Pharisee later on in Matthew, when the Pharisee is asking Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto him, to the Pharisee, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. So, taking up the cross. Look at the passage. Look at the verses just before it. It is putting Jesus first. It is accepting the division, the conflict, the household relational problems, because we have chosen to take our cross, to take a stand. To take a stand amidst the conflict where people separate from you because of Christ, because of your belief in Christ, because you follow Christ. Well, what does that look like today? I'll give you a personal example. So, in my own life, I've had to make some decisions and to separate myself from my parents. So in Chinese culture, when a person dies and they're buried in the ground, then I was brought up to pay respects to those that have passed away. So paying respects means you go every year and you go and bring an offering of food, burning money, and burning incense at the gravesite. So this is something that I was brought up to believe as culture, and it was a family responsibility, and it was a very important thing that I was supposed to do. I went along with this before I was saved, and I still went along with this after I was saved. I love my parents, and I wanted to do the thing that they asked me to do, because it was important to them, and somewhat important to me as well. I wanted to please my parents. But in his timing, the Holy Spirit opened my eyes, lifted the darkness, and gave me awareness of the spiritual nature of this practice. Paying respects is no different than speaking to spirits and offering them money and food. So the division of my choice to follow Jesus is that I didn't do it perfectly. Initially, I avoided the issue. Avoidance, that's the usual response for myself. I was too busy. I just didn't go when they asked me to go. But again, eventually, in his timing, I took a stand. I spoke to my parents, and I told them that the practice doesn't work for me. It is a big deal for my parents to continue this ritual. They've done this for generations. And they do it to honor their ancestors. But for me, I had to make a conscious decision to stand and to be obedient to the greatest commandment, to love God first. This involved taking up a cross to accept the division and the division between me and my parents, and to take a stand and to follow Jesus. Obviously, this caused offense and division. And I'll just read verse 38 again. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Standing. This This could also be taking your cross as well. And I'll give an example of looking at some of the issues that we are facing today in our church. So, how many of you have heard of Bill C-4? Some of you have heard of it. How many of you have not heard of Bill C-4 that's being passed in the federal government? Well, I'll just give a brief reading of it. So, it's a bill that's passed Royal Assent December 8, 2021. It's amending the criminal code regarding conversion therapy. Conversion therapy is described here in their bill, whereas conversion therapy causes harm to society because, among other things, it is based on and propagates myths and stereotypes about sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression, including the myth that heterosexuality, cisgender, gender identity, and gender expression that conforms to the sex assigned to a person at birth are to be preferred over other sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. The bill defines conversion therapy as any practice, treatment, or service designed to encourage discussion of heterosexual relationships, biological gender, repressing non-heterosexual attraction and behavior. Non-biological gender is deemed illegal. And for greater certainty, conversion therapy does not include practices that relate to changing a person's gender. Somehow that isn't conversion. So the agenda behind this bill, I don't know what it is, but certainly it isn't about diversity, inclusion, and equity. It's not about tolerance. This bill, which is active, is calling God's word a myth. Jesus identifies people as male and female, as in the beginning. And Genesis clearly states that God made us male and female. So, taking up your cross is to stand. I can't imagine what families who are walking through these issues are experiencing, or the division that it's causing. But remember verse 38. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Will you take up your cross? Endure the division and follow Jesus, even if it is within your household and family. When you are challenged, when there is strife, point people to the truth, to God's word, to Jesus as the only Savior when challenged. Take a stand. So that's Matthew 10, verse 38. Second example where Jesus tells us to take our cross is in Matthew 16. So in this context, Peter declared to Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus began to explain how he was going to suffer, be killed, and then be raised on the third day. This is his purpose. This is why he came to earth. And then Peter rebuked Jesus, saying, "This shall not be." But Jesus responding, he turned to Peter and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not things that be of God, but those that be of men." He said the same thing in Mark as well. That's a very strong rebuke to Peter. So the subsequent verses, verses 24 and 25, then Jesus said unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." He says the same thing in Mark 8 and in Luke 9. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So Jesus said, deny himself. Remember the context. Peter is trying to rebuke Jesus in Matthew and Mark. And Luke doesn't record this, but in Matthew and Mark, Peter is trying to rebuke Jesus. Peter is trying to convince Jesus that he should not suffer, he should not be killed, and then should not be raised on the third day. Peter was trying to reason against Christ crucified. So Jesus tells us to deny ourselves. And I think, looking at the text, this means to deny our own tendency to preach something other than Jesus' purpose. We have to utterly disown any thought or idea that forgets Christ crucified. There are non-negotiable truths that are core to being a Christian, to being a follower of Jesus. Do we point people to Christ? Remember, we are all sinners and unable to save ourselves. Unbelievers are guilty because nature points to God. Moral people are still guilty because doing good alone does not save you from judgment. Religious people are still guilty because following the law alone does not save you from judgment. This is Romans 1, 2, and 3. Only belief in Jesus Christ as our Savior puts us in right standing with God. Do we preach Christ, the Son of God, born of a virgin, becoming fully man and fully God, crucified, killed, died for our sins, paying the price so that we can be reconciled to God? And we are here waiting for his return. So deny yourself. Deny any thought that comes up that lessens the purpose of Christ. Deny any thought that degrades your preaching of the gospel. Take up your cross. Actively stand because of Jesus, what he has done for us, and follow him. Amen. So, I'll close the prayer. Let's bow our heads and bow our hearts. Dear God, I thank you that we can come together, we can read your words, we can have our minds renewed by Christ. And Jesus, you told us to take up our cross. And we sometimes have our own human ideas of what that means, but it's written there right in the text. The situations where you call us to stand, and you tell us to take up our cross and to follow you. And if we don't take up our cross, then we are not worthy of you. We need to take up our cross and follow you. And let us remember what our first love is, to love you with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength. I pray that each one here hears the word. You tell us many times, verily, verily, and you tell us, those who have ears to hear, listen. I pray that by your Spirit, that people here will hear your word and that we'll be changed. Their minds will be renewed in Christ by your Spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.